Good evening.
Good evening.
I behold you through the eyes of love, you radiant beings, you gods and goddesses. With that said, last week we talked about this whole idea of coming to the conclusion that all you are is God, but you are not all that God is, and how important that is for people to realize that. So we're going to, along with talking about wealth this month, this is going to be an ongoing theme until we get that. So that is why the little CDs are out there. That is Conversations with God. It absolutely pinpoints that we are one with God. Know that ye are gods. That is in the Bible. It is never taught because no one wants to take that responsibility. And a church does not want to tell you that, because if you figured out that you were God and you could do all the stuff without their sacraments and without their liturgy and without all their little things, you wouldn't stop going to church. Now, I'm not suggesting that anyone stops going to church. I think church is a wonderful thing. It has done a great deal of help for people, and it's also done a great deal of harm. You have to figure that out for yourself. But do try to come to the conclusion. You must convince your own self that you are one with God. You have to do that. It won't drop into your head by yourself. Nothing drops into your head by yourself, people. You have to make yourself believe that. You have to make that so. Now, we can say that that is the truth and that is so, but we just talk about it. We have to bring it down from our minds into our bodies, into our heart, into our being, so that we know without a shadow of a doubt that we are being taken care of, that we are using this thing called God. We have the little expression that we're children of God. And we forget that all the time. If we're a child of God, that means that we had to come from God. We have the expression, in the likeness, made in the image and likeness of God. We have all these expressions, and then we go about thinking, well, I'm separated from God. God is somewhere else. We are human, and God is not human. You have to know that you're more than human. You have to know that you're connected to this power, to this life, to this intelligence, and that you can use it. Why? Because you're one with it. You are never separated from that power, from that source. When you have a feeling of separation, or let's put it this way, when you have a feeling of lack, limitation, any of those feelings, it's because you feel that you're separated from this thing called God. So you must go back and tell yourself that you are connected with this thing called God. And then do it intelligently. Do it logically. Why is that so? Well, if it states that God is the only thing there is in the universe, there is nothing but God. It's God taking on every shape and form, every planet, every little thing is God. A stone is God. A rock is God. You are God. Everything is God. It permeates everything. It permeates everything. The Egyptians had a god called Ra, which was the sun god. Why did they think that the sun god was the only god at the time? Their logic was very good. They knew that nothing could grow without the sun. The sun is in everything. The sun is in everything. It penetrates everything on this planet. So they thought, oh, it must be God. So think of God as penetrating you all the time, as always available to you, always around you, in you, and through you. You'll say, and give up that idea that it's an old man in a white cloud somewhere to taking notes on what you're up to. God is not taking notes of what you're up to. He's not in the surveillance business, or it's not in the surveillance business. Now, here again, you'll hear me go back and forth, he, simply because that's in our language. So every once in a while I slip myself and I say he. I happened to say he once in this class, you know, and a young lady would not come back. Would not come back to the class. Now, that's dumb, that's stupid, and she threw out the baby with the bathwater. So I will go back and forth. I happen to know that God is not a human being, that God is not anthropomorphic, God does not have hands, legs, except these that you see in front of you. The same as your hands are the hands of God. If you want God to do something, you have to know that. So don't think that God is outside of you someplace, somewhere else, or that heaven is a geographical location. Heaven is not a geographical location. Heaven is a state of consciousness. And you can reach that state of consciousness on this plane of action, and you can be in heaven. So start thinking of those things also. Years ago, I used to say, wake up every morning and say to yourself, I'm in paradise. I'm in paradise. I'm living in paradise. Then look around Southern California, and that is an easy one to do, because everywhere you look, there's something beautiful going on in Southern California. So you can do that. But if you think that you're separated from heaven, you're separated from paradise, and you're living in this dog-eat-dog world and all the stuff that's going on out there, that is where you're going to stay. That is where you're going to stay. So that is why I want everyone, and myself included, I have a difficult time. I told you that tape for 8 hours straight up and 8 hours straight down, and it's the only thing I play in the car all day long. And still it says something every once in a while. I go, I didn't hear that before. But I'm trying to immerse myself in that whole thing, because it's the only way that we're going to be able to improve the human condition. It's the only way. Once you realize that this universe is for you, that this thing called God is for you, that you're one with this thing called God, there isn't anything that you cannot accomplish. There isn't anything you cannot accomplish. So with that, let's also remember that it is a mental/spiritual world that we live in, and that we are using our minds for these things. I want to read a few cards at first to deal with the idea of this thing called God being one with it. So, becoming mindful of your true essence leads to the awareness of your magnificence. And that was our thing last week, to say, remember, I am magnificent. Your divinity and your unique power to create for yourself whatever you feel is your destiny. Whatever you feel. But it's becoming mindful of your true essence. Your true essence is you're one with God. Just becoming aware of that. Give it a little thought each day. Remember, it doesn't take much. The size of a mustard seed. Stop thinking that it takes, 10 million pounds of something before you get it. Start saying to yourself, life is easy and I make life easy. Don't make life difficult. You absolutely have the power to elevate your attitude and beliefs. You have the power. You do not have to believe anything. You do not have to have any attitude. I get horrible attitudes and I say to myself, Dallas, you need an adjustment here. You need an attitude adjustment, and I adjust my attitude. That is the power that I have. You see, I don't have to sit around being depressed, being sad, being lonely, being all the things that people tell me. I elevate my awareness. I elevate my consciousness to a different area. How do I do that? By knowing that I'm one with God, and by knowing I'm never alone, that there's always this thing called God there to help me with everything. And I say, I'm pretty damn depressed right now. God, you better do something about this. But then I take an action step. I go and take a walk. I go and do something. You must take an action step. In anything you do, remember, God helps those who help themselves. You must always, if you do an affirmation, you must then take an action step. If you do a treatment, which is prayer, you must afterwards take an action step about it. You just can't say these things and then let them die on the vine. Everything exists. Everything that exists contains the seed for its reproduction and proliferation. when you realize that nothing is lacking, the whole world belongs to you. And we talked about that last week, the idea of saying to yourself that you have enough. There's a wonderful little affirmation, and it's not to get you off the hook. Please do not use it as that. And it is, I am enough, I have enough, and I do enough. Because your mind is always going to tell you that you do not have enough, you do not do enough, and you certainly are not enough. Is there anyone here that their mind says, you're enough? No. Because it wants to pick at you all the time. It's always going to tell you that you are not enough. This is when you turned again in attitude to this thing called God and say, I know I'm enough. And I know that you know that I'm enough. And that's enough for me. That's that whole idea. God loves you unconditionally. Unconditionally. The blossom vanishes of itself as the fruit grows. So will your lower self vanish as the divine grows in you. Remember last week we did the visualization of swallowing the seed. That seed, I said, is going to grow inside of you. You have to know that that's growing inside of you. For people who weren't here last week, it's a very easy thing. Just close your eyes and swallow. And pretend that you're swallowing a pill. It is pretending, people. It is using your imagination. One of the most wonderful gifts that we have been given is our imagination, and we fail to use it all the time. So you imagine you're swallowing a seed, and it's a God seed. And that seed goes down, lodges in your solar plexus, and starts to grow. So the blossom vanishes of itself as the fruit grows. So will your lower self vanish as the divine grows in you. So many people, we have the expression, let go, let God. We have the expression, surrender. Surrender to this thing. We are so afraid to surrender because then we're going to say, who are we? Now I don't know who I am. If I have to give myself up to God, then who am I? I won't be able to be mean, nasty, and all those things anymore. All those little things I just love about myself. Well, you're still going to be you. Yet that essence never changes. What we are learning to do is think God thoughts after it. We're learning to elevate our thinking a little higher than a soap opera. Just a little higher than a soap opera, people, is all it takes. But people want to run their life as a soap opera, and they want to run their life as a B-movie. Don't star in a B-movie, people. You're worth more than that. Letting the divine grow within you involves sincerity. Sincerity is always going to be, you'll hear this word in all the teachings, mystics, yoga, anywhere you go, it's the idea of the sincere heart. Do you really want this? Are you sincere about it? When you do anything and you want something, ask yourself, am I really sincere about this? We ask for many things, we're not sincere about them. It has to come from your heart. You have to know, oh yeah, I want this. I'm sincere about this. All healings are done with sincerity. The laying on of hands on all that stuff is done with sincerity. If I get my heart in the right place, I heal whatever's around me. It's done with sincerity. That's all it requires. People think it requires all this other stuff. No. It requires sincerity. That's all. And here it goes on. Within involves sincerity, service to others, kindness, and reverence for all life. Reverence for all life. Try to have reverence for all life. You know, I told you about my zinnias. I just love them. And one day I looked at them and I said, geez, what a wonderful thing I've done growing these zinnias. The next day I looked at those beautiful zinnias and I said, thank you for doing this for me. Thank you for growing. Yes, I stuck them in the ground, but they did the growing and they did the beauty, and they are wonderful. They're this, some of mine are this big now. Okay. Oh, yeah. I plant early. I get in there when it's good. So I'm reaping those. I have them all through the house. I just love them. Awareness leads to your highest self. Ego leads to your earthbound self. When you let the ego grow within you, awareness will be what you bring to all aspects of your life. Did I read that right? When you let the divine grow within you, awareness will be what you bring to all aspects of your life. Awareness. What do we mean by this awareness? Awareness that there is something more going on than meets the eye. That there's something more going on. Learn to know that. That you're being taken care of. That you do live in an abundant universe. Become aware of that. Become aware that you are one with God. And you'll start to see things differently. You'll start to have passion for yourself and for other people. And the whole idea in life is to discover this thing called compassion, which starts, by the way, with forgiveness, people. Forgive yourself for anything. Don't hold anything against you. You didn't know what you were doing at the time. Just give it a rest. Let it go. Won't hurt you. All right, young man, will you turn to your neighbor there and say, I am a money magnet.
I'm a money magnet.
I am a money magnet.
Yes, we have to know that. We have to know that we attract money. How many people here know that they attract money? Or is your mind still saying, oh, money just goes out for me? Oh, it just seems I'm spending more money all the time. Money, money, always going out, always. Always see money coming in, not going out. Know that you are a magnet and it is coming to you all the time. Just everywhere you look, money is coming to me. That's what it's all about. So this month we're talking about that. We're talking about wealth. We're talking about money. So let's do, quickly, I want to do this little handout, which again is from Daily Word. And it's on prosperity, you see. And it says, I live in an abundant life and claim my good now. If I want more abundance in my life, I need to ask myself, what kind of prosperity do I seek? Prosperity is more than money. It is also well-being, loving relationships, and awareness that I am blessing in my home, workplace, and community. All that God provides is available to me. For I am God's beloved child. I trust in God. I accept in mind, heart, and soul that I am worthy of God's abundant good in ever-increasing ways. Wisdom flows through me as divine ideas that lead me to greater expressions of prosperity. I claim my good now. Blessed with health, love, and a sense of purpose, I live an abundant life. Right here again we have, I am a beloved child of God. You are one with God. You are one with God. And greater expressions of prosperity. More, please. Always be asking for more. You live in an abundant universe. You say that this thing called God, with all things are possible. You can have anything that you want. And you ask for the smallest little things. For the smallest little things. You see, ask for big things. Ask for mansions. Ask for whatever you want. Then take that action step also. So the way we're going to approach this thing called wealth, we know that it's much more than money. We know that it's the relationships, it's the how you feel, it's all that kind of stuff. That's part of abundance. That's part of prosperity. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Abundant in everything. But we're very much interested in money. We're interested in that part of our wealth. And that is what this class is about, remember? Abundance and on prosperity, including money. So we're going to look at money in three different ways. We're going to look at it psychologically, realistically, and spiritually. And we're going to let's do the psychological one first. And that's why I brought this little thing with me. So let's look at it. And this is called deep psychology of money. I always like when they use the word deep, don't you? All right. Let's just do this part. Discussing money can be harder than talking about sex, religion, or politics. Well, psychology has done little to help. Parallels between money and psychology are revealed by metaphors such as inflation, depression, media, mania, value, allure, worth, loss, gain, failure, and trust. Money is the reason many families are torn apart, yet it is seldom mentioned in psychological training. This workshop will talk about money. Now, you can talk about money psychologically. One of the psychological things about money is this. Most people think they heard this little saying, and it says, money is the root of all evil. That also is in that wonderful thing called the Bible. There are many things in there. So, people think, oh, if I have too much money, I must be evil, or money is evil, money is dirty, money is this, money is that. Last week I told you to look at money as energy. It's just nothing but energy. You are the one that's putting the energy into it. You are the one that's putting the value on money. If you have $1, that $1 is very valuable to you. If you have $100, that $1 is not all that valuable. Now, if you have $1 million, then what's $100 to you? See, you're putting the value on all this. You put the value on it. And you go out into the marketplace there, and they put all this value on it, and they tell you, oh, no, that's worth $2,000. To them. You have to know what your money is worth, and you have to know what you're worth. How much of your energy, which is money, are you willing to give up to get something? You have to learn to look at money differently. It's energy. It's energy. I use energy giving this talk. Energy comes back to me in the form of money. You have to know that anytime you do any energy, it has to come back to you. I think that's a basic physics thing. You see, energy can neither be created nor destroyed, but it can be transferred from one thing to the other. But it's always the same. It takes so many kilowatt hours to do this and to do that, but how much coal do you have to burn to get a kilowatt hour? The energy from the coal. Am I making sense here? It's always energy. You're always exchanging energy. So look at your money as an energy exchange. And how much energy do you want to give? And how much money do you want back? So, when you're a money magnet, you're attracting money to you. You're attracting this energy to you. You see? Makes sense to you? Now, this teaching uses, we call it the mind, and we say we live, move, and have our being in the mind of God. So we use mind a great deal. In fact, we call it the science of mind. So many people think it's a psychological teaching. We use a lot of psychological terms, and we use a lot of psychological techniques and so forth. But this is not a psychological teaching, people, and I'll tell you why. Because in psychology, the psychologist believes that the mind can heal the mind. We do not believe that the mind can heal the mind. You see, I used to tell people, don't go into your mind alone. It's bad neighborhood. Don't go in there. It's a bad neighborhood. People want to go into their minds alone. They want to go to therapists and so forth. All well and good. There's nothing wrong with that. But in this teaching, we know that it's the spirit that heals. It is not the mind. It is the spirit that heals. So if you're having difficulty with your mind always talking to you, always coming up with the same thing, stop listening to your mind and start listening to spirit and find out what spirit has to say about this. Spirit can do for you what you cannot do. It can find your right place and put you in it. But you must ask spirit to do that for you and not rely on that little mind talk that's going on all the time. You see? All right, let's talk about, that's enough about psychology and the psychology of money. Give up the idea that it's the root of all evil. Start to love money. Say to yourself, I love money and money loves me. I had that 96-year-old aunt of mine used to stand at her counter and go, money, 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 money. She had money. You have to put that energy out there. Get that energy back. So realistically, what do we mean about realistically? Well, I had a friend who called me the other day getting a new job. And I said, oh, I think that's absolutely wonderful. More pay. He said, oh, absolutely doubtful. Because he said, you have to realize that money is the name of the game. That money is the name of the game. Now, a lot of people have that philosophy. And, of course, that complete race mind. There's nothing with having a lot of money. But when you think that that's the only game in town, you're a sad person. It is not the only game in town. We all want money. We all need money. Money is freedom. Money is God in action. But don't make your life about money, that money is the only thing that you're after. Money is always going to be a side effect. It's always going to be a side effect. Almost everything that you want is a side effect. A side effect of what? Of your thinking, of your consciousness. Why do you think we have that expression? The rich get richer and the poor get poor. They're rich in consciousness. They're rich in consciousness. Everyone remembers Candace Silvers. She used to say, rich people watch their money go up and down. Poor people go up and down with their money because you give it all that power and you think it's the only game in town. I had a lady the day in yoga class. She was meeting with her financial advisor and she said, I absolutely dread it. She's going to tell me this, that, and the other thing. I said, why are you allowing that? You're a creator. Why don't you create what you want and have her tell you what you want? Let's know that your portfolio is just fine, that everything is coming back and you're going to regain everything. She said, oh, I never thought of that. Why? Because everyone goes to the worst case scenario. Remember the lady who came to me and said, let's talk about the worst case scenario. I said, I don't talk about the worst case scenarios. I only talk about the best case scenarios. What do I want to dabble in that for? Remember? Do I want to look at the trash? Or do I want to look at the garden? It's a choice. It is a choice. Don't go that way. Don't. See, she had fear around money. Learn to have love around money. Learn to make your money grow. Learn to see that it's growing. We put the little red envelopes back out there. The little red envelope is to teach you to save money. What do? You put a dollar in it if you only need a dollar. I told you the last one I had $900 in it. Somebody said,
I can't believe you got $900.
I was just going to say, a friend of mine says, how did you do that? I say, I take the ones to the bank and I replace them with hundreds. And then I put the hundreds in there, and you can get nine $100 bills in that envelope without it stuffing. And I keep the same envelope, by the way, until it completely disintegrates. I just keep the same envelope. So, anyway, that is what they're for, is to teach you to have a consciousness of saving so that you can say, I save. You see, only if you save a nickel, you're telling your mind, you're telling your consciousness that you're a saver. If you don't, you're telling yourself, I'm not saving. I'm not saving. You see? Now you want money to come to you and so forth. Money's very smart, remember. It has an energy of its own. If you're not saving it, and you're just frittering it away, do you think more is going to keep coming to you? Do you think more is going to keep coming to you? No. It's not. You must use it intelligently. Everything in this teaching is done with wisdom, people. Everything in this teaching is done with wisdom. You must keep an open mind, but not that open that your brains fall out. So you have to use your mind in this. You're always convincing yourself. You're always training yourself. Remember, learn to think the thought that you want to think. Learn to feel the feeling that you want to feel. So if you want to feel prosperous, if you want to feel that you're advancing financially, you have to know that you have a little bit set aside. And not for a rainy day, for an opportunity. For an opportunity. And then the opportunity will appear and say, oh my goodness, look here, I'm going to get in my red envelope and find this. Here it is. So you have to look at money differently. So that whole idea of being realistic, I don't go for it. A lot of people love that. You can talk to Susie Orman. Susie Orman is half spiritual and half realistic. Anything that Susie Orman says is absolutely wonderful. Of course, you can change the station and somebody will refute everything that she says. Because there's all kinds of ways to look at economics. There's all kinds of ways to look at money. But in this teaching, we look at it spiritually. What does it do spiritually for me? How am I using it? What's going on here? Do you see it always as God in action? Do you see it as freedom? Do you know that when you pay your bill, that's God going out to pay somebody else so that children can eat that night? See, these are the things you have to think about and see in your mind and say, oh, isn't this wonderful? This is money. This is so wonderful. Look at all it does. And it's seeding, and you put that out. You put that out. You can use these little envelopes, by the way, as what's called seed money and watch it grow. Money always grows, you know. Money always grows. Doesn't sit there. It'll grow into something for you. Know that about money. Know that about yourself. But learn to say to yourself, I'm saving a nickel today. So the little idea there is that you come home at night and you have $6, a $5 bill and a $1 bill. Well, say, I don't need this $1 bill. I'm going to put it in my little red envelope. You'll never miss a dollar. But if you keep it in your wallet, you pull it out and buy chewing gum or something ridiculous. You don't need those things. You see? You have to learn. You're building a prosperity consciousness, and you have to build that consciousness. No one can build that for you. Now, I don't know. Does anyone here know Carolyn Mace? She wrote a book called The Anatomy of the Spirit, was her first book. Her last book was Entering the Castle. Anyway, here's what Carolyn Mace says about visualizing and so forth, which we're going to do later here. And it boils down to the idea that you must always take an action step. You can sit and say, oh, my finances are a mess. Now, you can go to a banker and say to the banker, my finances are a mess. What can I do about it? You think the banker is going to say to you, just sit there and visualize them. Just sit there and visualize that everything is all right. No. You sit and visualize, then you must take an action step. You must do something. You always have to do something. Always. Now people say, huh, but Dallas, God feeds the birds. I say that's absolutely right. God does feed the birds, but he does not drop the worm in their mouth. They must go and look for that worm. They know that there's plenty of worms out there. There's their abundance. We live in an abundant universe. Go look for the worm. Get up and move. It always boils down, you must treat and move your feet. You must pray and do something about it. Remember the old German proverb, begin to weave and God will furnish the thread. But you must begin, you must do something. So if you're interested in money, if you're interested in having money in your life, having a financial security, start to save a nickel start to save a dollar, start to save something. I was told by an uncle years ago, well, Dallas, you're not making enough money to save. You're not making enough money to save, you see. And I kept that going for many years. As much money as I made, I always said, oh, well, my uncle said, I'm not making enough money to save. Well, if you go by that theory, you'll never make enough money to save. Now, what do we know about saving? Do you know that little old ladies in this country have all the money? Do you know that they're little old ladies because they saved all their life? They have tons of money saved up. And they did it $1 at a time. And they didn't sacrifice that much. But they knew the value of money. They knew the value of saving. Get enthusiastic about saving and then be astonished when you see how fast it comes to you. You'll be, my, did I really save all that? I can't believe I saved all that. But you will. You will save that. So spiritually, money is done and brought to you by the idea that you are a magnet, you are a money magnet. But the main thing that draws wealth to you is the feeling of wealth. You must learn to feel wealthy, regardless of outside circumstances. You must always know that you're wealthy. You must know that. So close your eyes a moment. And start to bring into your mind a feeling of what it would be like for you to be wealthy. Would you feel at peace? Would you feel secure? Would you know, oh, I can buy anything I want? Find a feeling of joy, fulfillment, or just plain you feel secure, you have enough money that the world cannot hurt you in any way. You have enough money to take care of yourself for the rest of your life. What is that feeling like? What is that feeling like? And then drop that feeling from your head, from that intellectual part of you, down into your body. Down into your body. What does it feel like? And keep that feeling. Generate that feeling. If you get that feeling in your stomach area or your solar plexus, know now that that feeling is a magnet. And it's drawing money to you. It's drawing wealth to you. From every corner of the universe, it's coming to you. And you are now open and receptive to receiving it. You have completely forgiven yourself for anything. And you know now that you know how to handle money. You know how to handle wealth. And keep that feeling going. You can come back when you're ready. And now, along with that feeling, what do we have to know? We have to know that we are worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that we matter. With that, let's do the matter dance. I matter, I really, really matter. Yeah. And now, since we have done that, and since I'm excited that Laurie is back with us, Laurie is going to tell us the three wonderful things that we need to know. Aren't you, Laurie?
Yes. With God, all things are possible. This or more you can do, and it is done unto you according to your belief.
Yes. See, she's got it. By God, she's got it.
Well, you put me to the test,
because we forget that also. You see, we get busy with our lives, we get busy with the world, and with this mind. With this mind. It does not want to tell you those type of things. It doesn't, you know. You can ask your mind, what have I accomplished in your mind? Will take forever trying to remember what you've done. It will not tell you, oh, you graduated from here, you've done this, you've done that. Da, 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 da. That's why I think why we came up with resumes. So that you had it on paper. Because your mind, that just goes right out. It always, because why? You're not enough. You're not enough. You have to know that you're enough. Enough of everything. That you have everything enough, you see. And then it comes to you when you realize that the world is wonderful, that the universe is wonderful, and that you have enough, more comes to you. But we go in the reverse of that. And we think, oh, it's not enough. I need more of this. I need more of that. It's always good to ask for more. But you have to know you have enough. That's the rub in the whole thing. And when you sit down at the end of the day, you know you have enough. You've gotten this far. You've gotten this far. Now, what do we want to do? We want to make it easy. We want to realize that struggle is not required. We're not talking about struggle here. Does anyone remember? In the Bible, it says, by the sweat of thy brow. Now, everyone thinks that you must go out and dig ditches and you must work till you know you're perspiring. The only thing perspiration ever does is create an odor. That's what perspiration does. Metaphysically, by the sweat of your brow, means to think. Think, people. The sweat of your brow. What am I thinking about? What am I thinking about? Do I realize that money is always freely circulating in my life and that I always have a divine surplus? Do I know that? These are the things that you must run through your mind. This is how you build wealth. During the Great Depression, which we hear about, and they're trying to compare this economical situation to, which it has no comparison to it whatsoever, by the way, people, so don't buy into that one. During the Great Depression, we had the idea that no one made any money. There were more millionaires made during the Great Depression than any other time in the history of this country. Also, during the Great Depression, we built the world's tallest building, the Empire State Building, and it was done with private funds. The government did not do that. It was done with private funds. Up the street from the Empire State Building, they built Rockefeller Center, again, with all private money. We also had a famous man here in California, William Randolph Hearst, started to build San Simeon. One of the other things that you may not know about William Randolph Hearst, he was called the bad boy of the century because he lived with a woman, not his wife. But he was 65 years old when he inherited San Simeon, He didn't start to build Hearst Castle till he was 65 years old. Why do I tell you that? Never give up. If you're 65, my cousin was going to buy a house at 65. Everyone said to him, and this is my cousin Dennis, who happens to be Aunt Catherine's son, oh, you don't want to build a house at 65. His mother is 95, and she said, Gussie, which is his grandmother, built her house when she was 65. Build it. You see, we talk ourselves out of things because faith. Back to William Randolph Hearst. During the Great Depression, William Randolph Hearst was making between $100,000 and $140,000 a day. A day during the Great Depression. Money is never the issue. It's always freely circulating. You have to find that circulation. Don't buy into what's going on out there. Don't allow that to be your consciousness. You're safe. You live in a great country. You live in a great earth. And you live in a great universe. All of it is abundant. There's no, what is causing this whole thing right now is fear, which is a consciousness. Franklin Delano Roosevelt said during the Great Depression, we have nothing to fear but fear itself. But fear itself. I understand that was written by Napoleon Hill. Napoleon Hill also wrote a book called Think and Grow Rich, which has been out for 60 or 70 years. A very good book. I would recommend a reading for you. But what is it going to boil down to? It's always done unto you as you believe. If you do not change your belief system, you can read that book up one side down the other. It will never change a word, you one iota. The reason being that Napoleon Hill skipped a step in there telling about your belief system, and he interviewed only wealthy people. He only interviewed wealthy people. They had a consciousness of wealth. So of course they were wealthy. So if you read the book and think you're going to develop a consciousness of wealth or be able to apply to what he tells you in there, it's not going to work for you. It goes back to it's always done unto you as you believe. So what are you believing about your current situation, and what are you believing about your money situation? You see, all I hear is, oh, I've lost so much money, oh, I've lost so much money. These are people with large stock portfolios. I could give you a rendition of that one. But those cousins of mine, they have computers that tell you all that stuff there. Okay, you want to see this graph? I said, no, thank you. I don't care to see it. They have money, but they go up and down. You know, they're looking all over the place. Spiritually, you can be very wealthy and have money at the same time by knowing that you are worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. And it's up to you to do it by changing your mind about this whole concept of money. See, we have been taught all the wrong things. We're taught that money is scarce. We're taught that money is tight. I always like that one, but I don't know what tight money is. Oh, money's tight right now. I mean, I guess you don't have enough. We are the ones that are putting the labels on money. We're the ones that put the labels on everything. You know, you name it, you claim it. That was one of the things, here again in the Bible. Did not God say, I give you dominion? You name all the animals. God didn't name the animals. God didn't name anything. God looked around and said, all is good, you name it. Then we started to name it. God said, it's good. He said, I don't think that's too good. I don't think that's good. You know. So what are you naming your money? We talked about happy money last week. Remember, only take happy money. Don't take people. Suppose he doesn't want to pay or begrudges you the money. Say, thank you, I don't need it. You want happy money to come to you. you want their consciousness. When you pick up all that stuff, you're always people's consciousness is in everything. So change your mind about that thing. Okay. Have some notes. Conditions may influence consciousness, but consciousness creates conditions. Conditions may influence consciousness, but consciousness creates conditions. Experience does not create belief. Belief creates experience. So, what is your belief about the current situation? It's going to turn around. It's going to turn around immediately. It does not affect me in any way. And then start making that true. Your ideas are strong electromagnets that draw equivalent circumstances. Your ideas are strong electromagnetics. A magnet. Do you remember when I told you a long time ago about the echo? You know, we have the thing called an echo. If you yell out to the universe, I am wealthy, the universe does not yell back, no, you're not. It yells back, you're right, you are wealthy. You are wealthy. The other thing that the universe does besides that echo little thing to tell you, that what you put out, you're going to get back in likeness, in kind. It's a magnet. It's coming back to you. What you are entertaining in your mind, what this thinking is going on, if you think that you're wealthy, the universe starts to imitate that for you. It starts to imitate what you are. I think that's wonderful. So, what do you want it to imitate for you? It will imitate it. It does that. That's the way it works. I didn't make that up, kids. Do not wait until conditions are right for you to do what you would love. Do what you can picture in your mind. And life will imitate your inner art. Isn't that wonderful? Will imitate your inner art. So your inner art tonight when we did that little thing, when you had that feeling, now think of that. It's going to start to imitate that. Your inner art. I love that, don't you? Just that you're an artist. My goodness. I'm discovering more things about you. First, you're gods and goddesses. Now you're artists. And you do it with this wonderful thing called imagination, called your mind. Do it. It's wonderful. I think I gave you this last week, but I thought it was another one. I loved it so much. We do not attract that which we want, but that which we are. You attract that which you are. I'm feeling wealthy. If I'm feeling wealthy, then only wealth can come to me. If I'm feeling money, then money has to come to me. It's done with the feeling. That which we are. We do not attract that which we want, but that which we are. We all want money, but get the feeling of money. Feel what it's like. Hold your money. How many people are still writing, God bless and multiply this money quickly on their checks? Yes. I'll show you how to do that. You know, I've used that for 40 years now, I think. I've never run out of money in 40 years. And sometimes I've been out of work. There was no money coming in. But it was always showed up somehow. It always showed up somehow. I do a wonderful affirmation every day. And I say to myself, big happy financial surprises now come to me under grace in perfect ways. Big happy financial surprises come to me. Are you waiting for big happy? Are you planning on a big happy financial surprise? I'd love them. And they come. But you have to start seeing that, knowing that, and feeling that. How many people still go to the mailbox looking for bills? Never go to the mailbox looking for bills. Go to the mailbox looking for money. Checks. I take them in all denominations. And ever since I started that one, I get checks in the mail. I never worry about the bills. Why? I have an affirmation. All my bills are paid on or before time. As soon as the bill comes in, I sit right down at my desk and write it and put it right back in the mailbox. All my bills are paid on or before time. Now, if I didn't do that, if I just made that affirmation, all my bills are paid on or before time, and then they came, I just kept throwing them in on the top of my desk and thought, oh, well, I wonder if it's time to pay them. You see, I've blown my own affirmation. You must always take an action step. You make that. Remember, 40 years ago, I said to myself, I am a reader. I am a reader. Now, after I made that, I had to go out and buy a book, for goodness sakes. Now I have books everywhere. Before that, I didn't have books. I wasn't interested in books. Now I'm very much interested in books. But you make the affirmation, then you must take an action step. And if you do a treatment or a prayer, then you must learn to live at that level of demonstration. Whatever demonstration you're asking for, you must learn to live at that already, because everything is already done in mind. It's already done in mind. This would go back to the idea that it imitates that inner art. The universe will imitate it for you. This is an absolutely foolproof plan, people. Ernest Holmes said that science of mind is not a get-rich-quick scheme, but you can get rich using it. But you have to change your belief first. You have to know that you're worthy of all of this. And you should know that by the mere fact that you're one with God. That's all you need to know that you're worthy. You do not have to prove anything. We're not talking about earthly parents who demanded 10 reasons why you wanted the car. Well, tell me why you want it. No, I don't think so. You don't have to tell God why you want it. I think you have to come up with reasons. The mere fact that you want it is all you need. The mere fact that you want, you do not have to explain it to any Tom, Dick, or Harry. You don't have to do that. So use a spiritual approach. Use the other ones, the psychological approach, the realistic approach. You can use all those. I'd recommend it. Read Susie Orman. I've read most of Susie Orman's books. Do I apply some of it? Yes, some of it I do. Some of it I have no idea. The other thing is, you must realize that you're an individualized expression of God, and the way you do things is the way you do things. The world wants to keep you in fear constantly, tell you that you don't have enough money, that it will never last you throughout your life, that you have to have this and this insurance policy and this going on and that going on and all. Well, if you'd be insurance poor, you bought all that stuff, you wouldn't have any money. They'd have all your money. And you have to change that, you see. So spiritually, how do you look at money? Do you see it as God in action? Do you see that you can participate in this whole world, in this whole global economy? You're always participating. You're the one that's helping grease the wheels. You're the one that's keeping something in circulation. You see, nothing that is not in circulation lasts very long. You see, if the blood doesn't circulate through your body, you're not going to last very long. And that's what's happened out in the world. The circulation has just stopped for a moment. You see, so it has stagnated itself. As soon as the circulation comes back, the whole thing will be healed. So you have to think about that. Now, I'm not telling anyone to go out and spend their last dollar. But don't be afraid. But also, here again, use wisdom. Use wisdom. Keep a Neiman Marcus consciousness while you're shopping at Walmart. There is nothing wrong with that. But you have to keep your consciousness. Know that you can raise your consciousness. You can raise it higher and higher. And the more you raise your consciousness, the more you know that you're worthy, deserving, totally level one, that you matter, the more things come to you. The more things come to you. It just happens that way. Sit in a feeling of wealth. It's not going to be my feeling. I have a completely different feeling about that. But think of yourself. What would I do if I were wealthy? Excuse me. I would get a manicure, a pedicure, my hair done. What would you do with that money? And then think how it would feel to do that. Then start with your little red envelope there and save $20 or $40 and go have a manicure and a pedicure if that's what you think would make you feel wealthy. You have to do those little things for yourself. You have to build your consciousness. Constantly build your consciousness. Done. Life is an inside job. It's done in your mind. You can do it. I know you can do it. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I, and there ends the lesson. Thank you. There's a basket there for happy money.
I love the idea of that envelope. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
My daughter's actually going to do it.
Pardon?
You
can take more if you want. Did you take two a CD for her?
No, once enough. Good with that.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Three rows of two each. These two were over here, and there's another table over yonder. Okay.
Three rows.
Yeah, two each.
Yeah. Three rows of two tables each.
Yes, just yet. Not two rows of three each, but three of two.
Three of two.
Alice.
Yeah.
Good to see you.
Where's Andy tonight?
Always in the he doesn't come to you.
I thought he would be.
Let me see if I can turn this off. Thank you.